Oh, fear climbs my throat. I scoot away from the side of the ledge and press my back against the wall. The ripple vanishes. You can't stay down here, Sam says. I watch the water for movement, but the surface stays still. The thought of staying down here for even one more second is enough to make me want to curl up into a ball and cry. But it's the only way. You two need to go and get help, I say. You can come back for me.
I'll carry you, Sam says.
I'll just slow you down.
We aren't leaving you here with that thing, Sam shouts.
I open my mouth and then close it. I'm too tired to argue with them. For a moment, none of us speaks. Water drips from the ceiling.
It's settled then, Sam says.
He pushes himself to his feet and groans, leaning against the wall for support. His breathing sounds ragged. You're hurt, I say. Sam shakes his head.
Pulled a muscle, he says, straightening. It's nothing.
Let me see. I grab the corner of his t-shirt and pull him toward me before you can protest. Something dark and warm stains the back. It's blood, I say, my voice trembling. I touch Sam's back and he flinches.
It's just a scratch, he says, pulling away. I'll be okay.
That didn't look like a scratch, I repeat.
It's fine. We'll deal with it when we're out of here, okay?
Sam grabs my hands and squeezes. He tries to look reassuring, but I can see the pain tugging at the corners of his eyes and pinching his mouth. He's right, though. We can't do anything about it in here. Okay, I say. Let's get out of here. Shayna stares out over the water.
You two should go first.
Sam crouches next to me and slides his arms around my waist. I clench my hands at the base of his neck. He stands, pulling me up to one foot. He cringes. Sam? I loosen my grip around his neck and stumble backward, automatically setting my injured leg down to steady myself. Another wave of pain washes over me. Sam grits his teeth through his own pain. His arms tighten around me.
Casey, stay with me, okay?
I nod.
I need to be strong. I can do this.
I wrap my arms around Sam's neck, and he lowers both of us into the pool. I shiver as the water creeps up my legs and weighs down my jeans. The instant the cold hits me, a chill I can't shake spreads through my body. That thing is down here with us. I imagine tentacles coiling around our bodies and long, curved claws darting at our skin. Sam pushes off from the wall. I wind my arms around his shoulders, clinging to his back. We glide over the surface of the pool, and I remember him telling me that his dad had a house up by the lake and that he used to swim there every summer. I think of that story as I watch his arms slice through the water, propelling us forward. We make it across the tunnel in just 3 quick strokes. He reaches for the ladder, and I hear clanking metal as he wraps his fingers around the rungs. I tighten my arms around his neck. Sam pulls us out of the pool. Water drips from my clothes and my hair, and I shiver where the cool tunnel air hits me. We did it. We're across. Something splashes behind me, and I flinch before realizing Shayna must have leapt into the water, too. I blink and try to find her in the pool. I see Shayna's head duck below the water, and she disappears into the blackness. I pinch the inside of my palms to keep from passing out. I refuse to be dead weight, even if Sam is carrying me. Shayna, I call as we climb farther up the ladder, but she's still below the water, and she doesn't answer. I tighten my grip around Sam's neck.
He grunts, and I feel a twinge of guilt, realizing how hard this must be for him. The blood on his back feels warm against my chest. "Does it hurt?" I ask. Sam's quiet for a moment. His hands slap against metal as he pulls us up another rung.
"Nothing I can't handle," he says.
He climbs higher and higher. The manhole cover is directly above us. If I let go of Sam's neck and stretched my arm above me, I could graze it with the tips of my fingers. Shayna still hasn't broken the surface of the water below us. "Sam, wait," I say. "Shayna's still down there."
"I'm not slowing down, Case."
He climbs one more rung, then another. I stare at the water, my heart pounding. The surface stays still. "Sam," I say again. We climb up another rung, but this time Sam pauses, his breathing heavy. He grits his teeth together and reaches for the rung above us. Shayna bursts from the water below, gasping. She grabs the rungs and pulls herself out of the water, making the ladder shake. "Keep going," she shouts. She climbs quickly, barely tightening her fingers before she pulls herself up to the next rung. Then, halfway up the ladder, her hand slips. "Shayna!" I scream. She gropes at the air, swaying backward. Just when I think she's going to fall, she lunges forward, wrapping an arm around the ladder. I exhale. "Be careful," I say. She nods, giving me a wobbly grin.
"Don't worry," she says. "I'm coming." "Just two more," Sam says, groaning.
I nod, darkness flickering at the corners of my eyes. My arms loosen around Sam's neck.
"Casey!"
Shayna shouts. She shakes the ladder, and I jolt awake, tightening my grip again. Sam pulls us up the last rung and reaches for the manhole cover above his head. I hold my breath, expecting this one to be stuck too. Metal scrapes against metal, and a circle of blue appears above me. Fresh air rolls into the tunnel. I close my eyes, relishing the light hitting my cheeks. The air is clear and cool. It smells like grass instead of urine and sweat. The fear I've been carrying all night drains out of my shoulders. Sam crawls out of the manhole and collapses onto the ground. I roll off him. Grass tickles my cheek, and the sun beats against my face. A line of sweat forms below my hair. "Oh my God," I gasp, pressing my face into the grass. "We're out. We're finally out." Sam rolls onto his back, smiling at me. We seem to be in some sort of park. Water glistens in the distance, and I hear leaves rustle as wind breezes past. I conjure up my last bit of energy and prop myself onto my elbows, army crawling back to the manhole. I squint down, but the sudden brightness makes it hard to see anything but black. I blink, and the shadows begin to separate. Shayna's only four rungs down. I exhale, relieved, and start to reach for her when a twitch on the far wall draws my attention. I narrow my eyes. Daylight pours into the subway opening, slowly bringing the rest of the tunnel into view. Thick, gray tentacles cling to the walls like vines. They crawl from the water and curl over moldy bricks, twitching when the breeze gusts past them. I stare, horrified. Shayna's too focused on the ladder to see them. I open my mouth to yell at her to hurry, then hesitate. The tentacles surround her on all sides. They swell and undulate over the bricks, claws curling over scales the color of oil. They're too close. any sudden movement, and they'll strike. I force myself to look away, trying to keep my face neutral. "You're almost here," I say instead. My voice trembles. I stretch my hand toward Shayna, and she reaches for me. My fingertips graze her chipped, dirty nails. "Casey," she says, smiling her too-wide toddler smile. A tentacle unpeels from the wall and curls toward the back of her head. Shayna gropes for my hand. I hold my breath. A tentacle whips out of the pool, spraying me with water as it twists into the air. Its gray scales look nearly black, and its claws glint in the sunlight. "Shayna!" I scream, but it moves too quickly. My best friend is still smiling when the tentacle wraps around her waist. Claws flare out from the tentacle and tear the fabric of her shirt. Shayna opens her mouth, and a wet gurgle bubbles from her lips. The claws dig into her flesh, shredding the skin on her arms. She gropes for me, but I'm too far away to reach her. The monster wrenches her off the ladder and drags her down. "No!" I scream. Shayna crashes through the surface of the pool and disappears below the water. 24. My skin still tingles where her nail grazed my finger. Just seconds ago, I was reaching for her hand, and now... The water ripples, then goes still. Something white and ghostly flickers below the surface, and I imagine it's Shayna's face. Hope rises in my chest. She's stronger than the others were. She'll fight this thing. I watch the water, waiting for Shayna to burst through the surface, gasping. But the pool stays calm. Bile clogs my throat. I pull my leg beneath me, cringing at the sudden ache, and drag myself onto the ladder. Shayna's there. She's still alive, and she needs me. The metal rungs dig into my palms, and the cold subway air envelops me. I take a deep breath, then tug my leg around and position my foot on the ladder. Bright, furious pain rushes over me. It's so intense that my vision swims in and out of focus. My hands go slack. "Casey!" Before I know what's happening, Sam has his hand around my arm, and he's dragging me away from the ladder. My cheek hits the cold, wet grass. "Shayna!" I sob. I try to crawl back to the manhole, but Sam stops me.
"She's gone," he says.
He holds me by the shoulders to keep me from trying to crawl back to the tunnel. I try to pull away, but he holds tighter. "Let me go!" I sob, pounding my fists against his chest. "I need to save her! I need to save her!" The last of my energy drains away. I collapse against Sam's chest, tears blurring my eyes. Shayna's giddy smile flashes through my head. I hiccup, and fresh sobs jolt through my body. I should have warned her about the tentacles. I should have tried harder to grab her hand. Sam pushes the wet hair off my face and kisses me on the forehead.
"It's okay. We're safe, Casey. You're safe."
"Shayna." My voice gets caught in my throat. I huddle closer to Sam, taking comfort in the warmth of his chest beneath his damp t-shirt. Images force their way into my head. Aya's vacant eyes, Julie's blood-stained fingers. I weave my arms around Sam's neck, holding tight, like I'm afraid he might disappear. His hands find the small of my back.
"It's okay," he murmurs into my ear. "You're alive. You're safe. It's going to be okay."
I'm still trembling when Sam tilts my head back and kisses me. Our lips move together, desperate and hungry. I kiss him so I don't have to think about the look on Woody's face when the tentacle tore through his chest, her Aya's blood-stained dress floating in the water where her legs should have been. The sun warms my shoulders, and the grass tickles my bare feet. I feel Sam's heartbeat, his breath against my neck. It's okay, I think to myself. I'm safe. It's going to be okay. I press my lips against Sam's, harder, waiting for the memories to grow dim. Sam's lips freeze on mine. I jerk away. What's wrong? Sam's eyes widen. His skin turns the color of ash.
Casey?
Blood spurts from his mouth and oozes over his teeth and lips. Oh my God! The voice doesn't sound like mine. Sam releases a choked gasp and doubles over, holding himself up with one hand. I grab his shoulder to steady him, and my hands start to shake. He coughs again, spraying the grass with blood, before collapsing onto my lap. A deep red stain pools at the base of his spine. Blood seeps through his t-shirt and spreads up his back. Tears spring to my eyes. I glance down at my own hands, horrified to see blood clinging to my fingertips. No. I peeled the t-shirt off his back, revealing a deep, ugly gash. The wound slashes across Sam's spine. It's at least 6 inches wide, and it gapes open, revealing the raw meat of Sam's back and bones poking through a thick layer of blood. The skin around the edges has already blackened. We need an ambulance, I say. I dimly remember hearing that you have to apply pressure to keep a wound from bleeding out. I press both hands against Sam's back. He cringes, and fresh blood oozes through my fingers.
Casey.
Sam pushes me away. His eyes have a cloudy cast to them. He frowns.
I can't see you.
Sam? My voice cracks. Sam, I'm going to go get help.
Don't.
His fingers enclose my wrist. He's barely touching me, but it feels like every single bone in my body breaks at the same time. I squeeze his fingers. Sam, I whisper. He gives me a lopsided grin.
Did I tell you Woody's going to let me crash in his apartment? After graduation.
He stares at something behind me. Something he doesn't seem to see. Sam? I whisper. I touch his chin, turning his face so he'll look at me.
He knows a guy. Let us play on weekends.
Sam's voice gets weaker. I huddle closer, wondering if he still knows I'm here. Tears flood my eyes.
Don't cry.
Sam tries to lift his hand and touch my cheek. He drops it halfway there, pain flashing across his face.
Don't move, I say.
Sam's arm starts to shake, and he collapses back onto my lap. I sob and brush the hair back from his face. Sam!
You can come too,
he mutters, eyes fluttering.
No,
I say.
Look at me!
Sam's eyes lose focus. His limbs go still.
Sam!
I shake him, but he doesn't move.
Wake up, Sam! Don't leave me!
Agony crashes over me. I gape down at Sam, a silent scream frozen on my face. Static buzzes in my ears, blocking out everything but his final words.
You can come too.
My arms start to tremble, and I collapse onto my dead boyfriend's chest. A ragged sob claws from my throat. A gust of air brushes over my skin, freezing the water still clinging to my arms and legs. I burrow deeper into Sam, trying to ignore the chill that's already crept into his body.
I want to come,
I whisper. His t-shirt is still wet, and it smells like sewer. But below that, it smells like Sam. My Sam. I grab handfuls of it in my fists and breathe it in. Please don't leave me here. Out of the corner of my eye, I see something move toward me. I stiffen. It's just a jogger. He rounds the corner of the lake, hesitating when he sees me.
Everything okay?
He calls. I open my mouth, but I can't speak. The black is pulling at the edges of my senses. It won't be long before I fall unconscious. I know I should fight to stay awake, but I can't fight anymore. There's no one left to fight for. I lower myself to Sam's chest and finally let myself rest. 25. Lights flash behind my closed lids, then they flash off again. I feel myself grow lighter and fight against it. It's like swimming. I try to push myself farther into the deep, fathomless ocean of sleep. My friends are down there. I see their faces in the darkness. Shayna is just inches away from me, her bright pink lips parted in a little kid grin.
You look deranged, she says.
But the current pulls me up. The light grows brighter, and pain seeps in through my arms and legs. It stabs at me like knives. Shayna's face disappears. I open my eyes. It's dark. Blue lights flash from a machine to my left, and an IV stands at my right. Plastic cords connect to my wrists. A velvety night sky stretches beyond the hospital window, and in the distance, I can see the dusky glow of city lights. Someone's shouting. I blink, listening. The shouting cuts off, abruptly. Then,
female victim, 17 years old.
They must be talking about me. Sleep tugs at me. I don't fight it. Everything's so much easier when I'm asleep. My eyelids flutter. An ER tech pauses in front of my room, his hands resting on a stretcher. Suddenly, I'm wide awake. A sheet covers the body, but a bare leg wearing a muddy black boot dangles over the side of the stretcher, along with a single pink-tipped lock of hair. Shayna, I whisper. I try to push myself out of bed, but my arms wobble beneath my weight, and I crash back against my pillows. Darkness flickers at the corners of my eyes, and before I can move, the morphine pulls me under. My eyes twitch open hours later, still heavy with sleep. Something woke me. I lie curled on my side, listening for a sound. The machines beep. A car honks on the street outside. A nurse in the hall says something about going for coffee. My eyelids grow heavier. I'm about to drift off again when movement flickers at the edge of my vision. My eyes shoot open, and I sit up in bed, the mattress creaking beneath my weight. Someone stands in the hall outside my room, a shadow hovering near the doorway. Mom? My voice cracks. It feels raw and unused. Whoever's watching me doesn't move. I curl my fingers around the scratchy hospital sheets and scoot back against the headboard. My heart thuds against my chest. The shadow shifts. Shayna, I say. Shayna drifts forward, dazed. A film of sweat coats her skin, and her hair frames her face in limp, tangled clumps. She wears a hospital gown, just like mine, but hers is several sizes too big, and the neck droops over her shoulder, revealing deep red gouges on her neck and chest.
Oh my God.
I push back my blankets and climb out of bed. The drugs make me slow and clumsy. The room spins, and I have to lean against the wall for a second to regain my balance. The dizziness subsides, and I yank the IV out of my hand, then stumble across the room and grab the door to keep myself steady. Pins and needles race up my injured leg. Gritting my teeth together, I take the last few steps toward Shayna and throw my arms around her neck.
You're alive, I whisper.
Tears spring to my eyes. Shayna feels small beneath my arms, her bones thin and fragile. I hold her tighter, but she doesn't hug me back. Her hands hang next to her sides, limp.
Shayna?
I loosen my grip slightly, but then Shayna jerks her arms around me. Her fingers crawl to the back of my head and press into my scalp. Chipped nails dig into my head.
What are you doing?
I squirm, but she tightens her grip. Her nails claw at my skin.
Wait, you're hurting me.
I start to pull away, but then I see something jutting out of Shayna's back, and I hesitate. The object looks sharp and long as a steak knife, but curved in a subtle arc. I raise a trembling finger as it sinks deeper into Shayna's body. Nerves prickle over my arms and the back of my neck. I push her off me, and she stumbles back a few feet, giggling.
No,
I say. She's trying to be funny. This is one of her stupid jokes. The muscle in my leg twitches, telling me to run. I edge backward.
Shayna, what the hell is going on?
The light hits her face, and dread washes over me. Skin droops from her cheeks and jaw. Her mouth stretches. This smile is different from Shayna's giddy little kid grin. There's no joy in it. It widens all jagged teeth and bleeding gums. Her normally brown eyes burn icy blue, just like Aya's had.
Shayna,
I whisper. The scratch Aya left across my face flares like a warning. This thing couldn't possibly be the real Shayna. Shayna's dead. The creature from the subway took her body. Just like it took Aya's body and Lawrence's body. And now it's come for me. The creature's blue eyes darken into twin black pools. Something appears from deep within Shayna's throat. It pulses and writhes against the roof of her mouth. It pushes on her teeth. A tentacle uncurls over Shayna's cracked lips. It lashes at me, gray scales flashing under the dim hospital lights, and cuts whip-like into my cheek. The tentacle crashes into the wall behind me, and the plaster crumbles under its weight. Terror grips my chest, and I run for the door, but Shayna darts into my path and pushes me back into the room. I lose my balance and slam into the tile. Pain shoots through my hips. The tentacle loops around my ankle. Tiny, jagged claws flare out from the scales and cut into my flesh. I scream and kick, but the tentacle constricts, and the claws dig into my leg like a grappling hook. I push myself to my hands and knees and start to crawl, but the tentacle yanks my legs out from under me. My forehead smacks into the floor, and darkness blossoms in front of my eyes. My head feels thick and dizzy. I can't move. A shadow falls over me. I can practically picture the tentacle hovering above my head, its claws about to dig into the soft flesh around my neck. I groan and try to roll over, but pain washes over me in waves. A tear forms in the corner of my eye. This is it. I'm going to die. Voices sound in the hall just outside my door, but they fade before I can call out for help. Shayna's bare feet pad across the floor. Then, silence. I roll onto my back. Something flickers at the corner of my eye, and I flinch and throw my arms around my face again, expecting Shayna to lunge. But nothing happens. I lower my arms, trembling. The doorway where Shayna had stood is empty. I push myself to my knees, eyes darting around the small hospital room. Did she run away? Or is she still here, hiding? The blue machine beeps in the corner. My IV stands next to the bed, cords dangling to the floor. The curtain rustles. My heart thuds in my ears. I rise to my feet. Pain flutters through my bad knee, making me cringe. The door to the hall is just past the window. If Shane is behind the curtain, I'll never make it. The curtain moves again. I grit my teeth and creep across the room. The tile chills my bare feet, and my fingers shake. Goosebumps raise the hair on my arms and neck. I reach forward, grab the curtain, and yank it back, revealing nothing but an open window. A cool breeze drifts into the room, rustling the curtain. The fear drains from my body. I exhale and peer outside, half expecting to spot Shayna racing across the street below. But the glass just reflects my hospital room back at me. I see the blue heart monitor, my abandoned IV, and the rumpled sheets of my bed. I lean closer. A figure huddles beneath my bed, watching me with hungry eyes. Terror washes over me. I scream and whirl around as a tentacle whips out from under the bed and slams into my chest. It knocks the air from my lungs, and suddenly I'm sliding across the floor. I crash into the metal hospital cart, and the cart topples. Glass shatters, and medical supplies rain down on me. I throw my hands over my face. Shayna skitters out from under the bed on all fours. She moves like an insect, her arms and legs jerky and disjointed. I try to stand, but Shayna crawls on top of me, pinning me down with her legs. She leans closer, her face inches from my own. Her mouth slackens and droops open with the weight of the writhing tentacle. The tentacle curls around my neck, pinching my skin. I gasp for air and dig my hands into the scaly mass. I try to pull it away, but the tentacle is solid muscle. It tightens around my neck until my head grows light. Shayna grabs my wrists and slams them against the ground. I kick and push against her arms, but Shayna's too strong. She doesn't even seem to notice me struggling beneath her. I inhale, and a tiny bit of oxygen trickles into my lungs. Then the tentacle constricts, crushing my throat. "Let go," I gasp. Darkness blurs the edges of my eyesight. Shayna cocks her head, considering me. It's a strange reptilian gesture. Another tentacle oozes from her mouth and slithers toward my arm, coiling around my wrist. Dizziness overwhelms me. I open and close my mouth. Shayna unhinges her jaw, and another tentacle slips past her lips and hits my chest with a hard, wet thud. It feels like an oily rope. I cringe as it gropes along my skin and tightens around my throat. My head pounds. The room starts to go black. The room flickers in and out of focus. The realization hits me. Shayna is going to kill me. This monster is going to kill me. I'm going to die if I don't do something. I move my arms and jerk my head forward, smacking Shayna on the forehead. Pain oozes through my skull, but she just blinks, surprised, then shifts her body forward so she can hold my head down with both hands. She crouches over my good leg, pinning it to the floor. I grit my teeth together and shift my bad leg out from under her. Pain throbs beneath my kneecap. Nausea rises in my throat. I choke it back and drive my ruined knee into Shayna's chest. Shayna flies off me. Her tentacles uncurl from my arms and neck and whip back toward her mouth. Pain like fire burns through my leg. I push myself to my feet. The ache makes my head throb. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Shayna moving toward me with that same jerky, disjointed crawl. I hobble for the door. The nurse's station is just down the hall. If I can get out of this room and shout for them, I might be able to save myself. Pain shoots up my leg with every step I take, but I bite my lip and push myself through it. The hospital door yawns open. Just 3 more steps. 2 more. Help! I gasp. Someone, please! A tentacle shoots out of Shayna's mouth and wraps around my ankle. An agonized scream rips from my throat. I leap for the door, but the tentacle pulls me down. My cheek slams against the tile, and for a second, all I see is black. I groan and try to push myself back to my feet. The room swims around me. Shayna crawls toward me. She's twisted her arms around so that her hands face the wrong way and her elbows jut out to the sides. Her bones stick out at bizarre angles, pulling her skin taut. Empty eye sockets stare out from opposite sides of her head, and her mouth widens, taking up her entire face. Sweaty pink hair falls over her forehead and sticks to her cheeks. I try to move my leg, but everything below my waist has gone numb. I grope along the ground for something to help me pull myself up, and my fingers find the cool metal bars of the hospital bed. I grab hold and pull. My muscles burn, but I'm not strong enough to stand. My legs flop beneath me. Dead weight. Shayna closes in on me. I grope along the ground for a weapon, and my fingers find a long rubber cord. The emergency call button. I yank on the cord, and the button clatters to the ground. Shayna leaps for me, but I grab hold of the button before she lands on my chest. She digs into my shoulders with both hands and shoves me to the floor. My head smacks against the tile. Drool drips from Shayna's lips and plops onto my cheek. I press the emergency button, but it's too late. Shayna lowers her face. This can't be the end, I think. And then I wrap the cord around the monster's throat. I pull tight, tighter. Spit bubbles around Shayna's mouth. I stare at her neck so I don't have to look at her face. I pull the cord tighter. Her skin goes pale. My hands start to shake. Shayna moves her hands from my shoulders and gropes at the cord. A strand of pink hair falls to Shayna's neck, dislodging something inside me. The color's called cotton candy. I helped her pick it out. It'll make you look innocent, I told her. She cackled and shoved the dye into her pocket without paying for it. I could never look innocent, she shot back. A sob builds in my throat. I choke it down and pull the cord tighter, tighter. This isn't Shayna, I tell myself. Shayna's already dead. The monster tries to tug the cord away, but it digs into her, and she can't get a good grip. She scratches at her neck uselessly, leaving deep red scratches on her skin. The muscles in my arms burn with pain. I don't have much strength left. Shayna gasps, her fingers still clawing at the cord. I squeeze my eyes shut so I don't have to watch the life fade from her face. Shayna collapses on my chest. The tentacles slither back into her mouth, slowly at first, then fast like a tape measure snapping back in place. I drop the cord and fall back onto the floor, panting. Tears spill down my cheeks. The floor beneath me trembles. I stiffen, but it's just footsteps. They thud closer, and then a nurse appears at my doorway.
Is everything all right? And
oh, God! The nurse screams. I try to open my mouth. I want to tell her that it's okay. The monster is dead. It's finally over. But the nurse starts yelling, and then another nurse races into the room with a stretcher. They lift me off the floor and onto the stretcher. They're talking to me, asking me questions, but it's like someone put the world on mute. Their mouths open and close without making a sound. Let me go, I think. I try to move my legs, but nothing happens. Panic builds in my chest. I try to lift my foot and then wiggle a toe. My legs stay still. I can't move.
26. The nurse's screams still echo through my head a week later as I hobble out of the hospital, balanced on brand new crutches. I stop next to a concrete pillar and tip my head back, letting the sun warm my face. The stiff padding digs into my armpits. I close my eyes, and a memory flashes across my flickering lids. "We need a stretcher," someone yells. And then, "She's crashing." My eyes snap back open. I can't stop replaying those final moments when I'd been so certain I was going to die. I stare down at the stiff white cast stretching from my ankle to mid-thigh. My toes stick out at the bottom. Mom painted them green last night and drew a tiny picture of a turtle on the cast near my ankle. I wiggle my green toes. It's a miracle that I can move them. A miracle that I can even stand. "Just want to make sure you know what she's taking for the pain. How often, and..." Mom's voice drifts out of the hospital, interrupted by the glass doors sliding shut.
"I've been a parent just as long as you have," Dad's saying when the doors slide open again. "I'm perfectly capable of giving her medication while you're at work."
They step out of the hospital together and stop arguing when they see me listening. "I told you guys already." I reposition the crutches beneath my arms and half turn so I can face them. "No drugs." Mom sighs and fumbles with her threadbare tote bag. I painted her nails too, against much protesting that lawyers really shouldn't have green fingernails.
"The doctors said a little ibuprofen is fine," she says. "You're recovering from a torn ACL, a major surgery, and no drugs." My voice is stern, and I give her my very best, I'm serious face. It's something I've insisted on since getting out of surgery. There were a few days when I was too groggy and out of it to keep the doctors from giving me ibuprofen. But now that I'm healthy enough to feed myself and walk with crutches, I've been adamant about refusing all pain relievers, even the ones they say I can't get addicted to. I haven't forgotten the promise I made to myself in the subway. I'm done with all of that.
"If you say so."
Mom tucks the pills into her bag, shaking her head.
"How are you feeling, kiddo?"
Dad scratches his eyebrow.
"You mean since like 20 seconds ago, when you asked me the last time?"
I force myself to smile, even though the expression feels unnatural. The therapist I've been seeing for the last few days said smiling would trick my body into feeling happy. But so far, it hasn't worked. It's not that I'm not grateful to be alive, but the grateful feeling is tangled up with horror and guilt and shock. Like how necklaces get knotted together when you leave them at the bottom of a jewelry box. It's impossible to separate one emotion from the rest. The smile pulls at the corners of my mouth.
"I'm feeling great, Dad," I say.
"This is pie."
"Slow down," Mom says, looping an arm around my shoulder. "You need to rest."
"Fine," I say. To be honest, I don't care if the crutches are uncomfortable or if Mom acts a little bossy or Dad asks a million questions. I don't care if my knee aches when I'm trying to fall asleep, or if physical therapy is grueling, or if taking a painkiller would make all this easier.
I'd take the pain and the frustration a million times over. It's so much better than the alternative. Dad opens the car door and starts loading my things into the back seat. I hand him one of my crutches.
Casey?
The voice comes from behind me. I turn, the other crutch still propped beneath my arm.
Madison?
Madison grins at me, holding up a balloon shaped like a soccer ball with the words, "Get better soon," written across it in blocky blueprint.
I would have come sooner, but I didn't know if you wanted visitors.
She shoves her free hand into the pocket of her bright green jeans and stares down at her scuffed sneakers. The last time I saw her was from the passenger seat of Shayna's Buick. Heat climbs my neck at the memory.
I'm glad you came, I say, offering an awkward smile.
I didn't realize anyone knew I was here. My doctor didn't think I should travel after my surgery, so my parents kept me at the hospital in Manhattan instead of transferring to Philly.
Are you kidding? Everyone at school is talking about you.
Madison shifts her weight from foot to foot, then hands me the balloon.
Anyway, I got this for you. I think it's supposed to be for, like, an 8-year-old boy, but whatever.
That's so sweet, I say, taking the balloon. It's kind of tricky trying to hold it while also gripping my crutch, but I manage. Madison flashes me a sad smile and clears her throat.
I also wanted to say that I'm sorry, she says, for what happened at my party last week and, you know,
she takes a deep breath,
because of what happened to your friends.
I wind the balloon string around my fingers. I still remember the way the ropes groaned as Julie's body swung from the pipes, and how Woody's hands suddenly went limp as the monster burrowed through his chest. I pulled the balloon string tight, watching the tip of my finger turn blue. Aya's last words echo through my head. We're all gonna die.
Casey?
Madison touches my arm. Sorry, I mutter, shaking the pins and needles feeling out of my fingers. I try not to think about it. Madison chews on her lower lip.
I heard Shayna took an entire bottle of Ritalin. That's why she killed all those people.
I clear my throat.
She was on a lot of drugs, I say. And the cops still think she was responsible for everything?
Madison asks.
They do.
I stare down at my cast. It's not my fault Shayna got blamed for the murders. No one believed my story about the monster, especially not after I tested positive for ecstasy. And the nurses saw Shayna attack me in the hospital. It all fit together so perfectly. Except, no one could explain the bloody gouges on Shayna's arms, or why the other bodies were never recovered. Even Sam disappeared in the time that the runner left to get help and the ambulance arrived. His body vanished, like something had reached out of the subway and dragged him back underground. I flex my fingers, nearly losing my grip on the balloon. These are the details I focus on. They remind me that I'm not crazy, that what I saw was real. Madison takes a step closer, lowering her voice.
Is it true that you had to, you know,
kill her? A lump forms in my throat. I don't want to think about how I tied the cord around Shayna's throat and pulled until she could no longer breathe. My hands tingle at the memory. It wasn't Shayna, I tell myself. Shayna was already dead when they brought the body to the hospital. I didn't murder her. I murdered the monster, the thing that killed her and took over her body. Cotton candy colored hair flutters through my memory. I flinch, letting the balloon string unravel from my finger.
It was self-defense, I tell her. Luckily, Madison nods. She grabs my hand and squeezes.
I'm sorry, she says.
Awkward silence stretches between us. Madison clears her throat and glances at my knee.
I heard that you had another surgery, she says. You're probably benched for good now, huh?
This time, my smile feels almost natural. It's easier to focus on the medical stuff. The surgeries and rehab have been so challenging that I can go almost 5 minutes without thinking about Sam's last words or how light Aya felt in my arms. I lean into my crutch and stretch my bulky cast out in front of me.
Actually, the doctors say I'll be good as new, I say, wiggling my green toes. I should be back out on the field this fall.
A nervous grin flashes across Madison's face.
You're going out for soccer again in the fall?
Really?
As soon as I'm done with physical therapy, I say.
Madison squeals and wraps me in a hug.
That's amazing! I can't wait, she says.
Yeah, well, don't get too comfortable being captain, I say, untangling myself from her arms.
Bring it on, Madison says.
Casey!
Mom pokes her head out the car window. We're going to be late for your first physical therapy appointment. Time to tell Madison goodbye.
Madison squeezes my arm.
I'll see you on the field.
See you on the field, I say. Madison jogs back to her car, but she turns to wave at me one last time before climbing inside. I toss my crutch into the station wagon. Dad starts to get out of his seat to help, but I wave him off.
I got it, I say.
Before I can pull myself into the car, the ground trembles, and I stiffen, immediately alert. A train rumbles through the subway below me. I stare through a nearby grate, nerves prickling. For a second, I think I see them. Shayna reaches out of the darkness, her chipped fingernail grazing my hand. Strobe lights illuminate the tips of Sam's hair and the hard edges of his jaw. Julie tosses back her black curls and fumbles with the onyx ring on her finger. Then the rumble of the train fades into the distance, and they disappear. I release a ragged breath, my lips suddenly cold. I see them all the time. Every girl with winged eyeliner is Aya. Every guy in a Hawaiian shirt is Woody. But when I look again, I'll see that the girl is too tall or too thin. The guy is older than he seemed a second ago. My friends are dead. They aren't coming after me. That's what I keep telling myself. This is Sophie Amos. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Survive the Night by Danielle Vega. This program was directed by Simone Barros. Executive producer, Kelly Gilday. Text copyright 2015 by Alloy Entertainment. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.